Mandela.
Good evening.
Amen.
You're the first to be alive. Are you stacking blocks?
Do what?
Are you stacking blocks?
No, I'm making coffee.
Sounds like you're stacking blocks.
Well, I'm stacking cups to make coffee.
I'll tell you.
Do what?
I think people are very busy with Pesach.
Right.
Kind of.
Good evening.
Hello.
We're going to begin. We're presently continuing the study of Section 32.
Okay, I'm just going to listen today. Is there someone else on?
Yeah, Brandy's on, so.
Okay, well, I'm going
to put all that pressure on her. That's a joke, Brandy. She's muted. Hannah, are you muting?
Yes, it's okay. It's okay.
All right. We're going to be continuing our study of Parashat Noah from the Zohar. We're going to be on section 32, Pasuk 250. And we will start with the L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud kud shabari hu ishkin te bid hilu urkimu udhilu. Udhilu urkimu. Le'akta l'shem yud he bavav he. The Yehuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael. Limud Torah mitzvah. La'asok Torah mitzvah. Vayhino amadunai Eloheinu aleinu ma'asei adeinu pununei aleinu ma'asei adeinu pununeihu. Kewan denafak yachav mitnan la begin dihi beveta uveta bidaha veinun matnan dihav la begin liaska'a la dechimuta bevala Mikan olif na olachara beush pizar bealda levatar tihala matnan leaska'a la dechimuta bevala barka leyadikiv vayavarech Elokim et Noach ve'et banav vayomer lachem piru urvu v'gomer ugin kach ketiv barkat Hashem hiyo tasir vaday kima de'itvar. Because he left the ark, he presented her with gifts, namely the offering of a sacrifice. For she is in the house, and it was in her hands. He offered her gifts to make her more lovable to her husband. From this, we can learn how a guest should behave. He should present the lady of the house with the parting gifts. After he gives her the presents, so her husband will become fonder of her. She will bless him, as it is written, and Elohim blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and also the blessing of Hashem, it makes rich, which definitely indicates that the Shekhinah, who is responsible for the blessings of the world, is Hashem's blessing. Questions, comments, thoughts.
Okay, I have one. So is the ark then connected to the Shekinah, and that's why he's leaving a parting gift?
Well, the answer to your question is yes, the ark is Malchut, and the Shekhinah is Malchut. So together, they're the same Sephirah, maybe in different frames of reference. Maybe not. That's something you have to contemplate. The reason that Noah brought an offering is this verse is telling us by giving her gifts, by giving Malchut gifts, by offering to Malchut, it elevates Malchut, brings her closer to Hashem, and that causes her to be more lovable in the language of this translation. And because Noah brought offerings and elevated Malchut in that process, Elohim blessed Noah and his sons, and said to them the same thing that he'd said to Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply, which is a blessing from Hashem. So everything is, the beginning is in the end, and the end is in the beginning. It's all a circle.
I know, I thought what came to me was the idea that the gift of the Shekinah is the inner dwelling presence of Hashem. So by Noah's sacrifice, that became our gift.
By Noah sacrificing, it became our gift? I'm not following that.
No, the gift of the Shekinah, which to me is the indwelling presence of Hashem, that's the gift. And because of Noah entering the ark and offering the sacrifice, that elevates Malkut, which is Shekinah, which is within all of us.
Okay, it's a nice discussion, nice presentation. I follow what you're saying. The Shekhinah is the indwelling presence of Hashem, but what is the meaning of that phrase? The indwelling presence means that it's internal.
Right.
Hashem is external. Noah left the ark with the Shekhinah. That's what we discussed in the previous verses, 248 and 249. Noah exited the ark with the Shekhinah, and then he brought her an offering. He brought her a sacrifice, which helped elevate her to Zeranpin.
But those blessings didn't they go down to other generations after that? I don't know. I guess because to me the Shekinah has always been Hashem's indwelling presence within our bodies, within ourselves. You know, I guess at one point in our lives we'd call it the Holy Spirit. So. Maybe that's why you don't understand what I'm trying to say.
The answer to your question that you read initially is yes. All of these blessings that flow from Hashem or the Shekhinah flow throughout the generations. And someone can choose to disconnect themselves from that flow of beneficence, that flow of goodness, through ignorance or through choice, they choose to disconnect themselves by doing a negative action. You're right. The Shekhinah is the internal aspect of Zeranpin. Yesod of Zeranpin has only 9 sephirot. Malchut is not in Yesod of Zeranpin. There is no Malchut of Yesod of Zeranpin. The Malchut of Yesod of Zeranpin is the Shekhinah, is the Malchut. That's what needs to be brought through and understood clearly. A man has only 9 sephirot in his body. He does not have the 10th. His wife is the 10th sephirot, whereas a woman has all 10 sephirot. On a physical form, a man doesn't have a womb. A woman has a womb. And as having a womb, that is the location of Malchut. That's where the manifestation of life takes place. So you can begin to understand these concepts that we've spoken about in each frame of reference. Should I go on, or shall we stay here?
No, I haven't read the verses before because I haven't been able to connect in a couple of days, so I'll probably have some missing parts that I'll need to catch up with, but go ahead.
Okay.
Unless Brandy wants to stay on it, you know.
Let's go on to 251. Willo Yosifa, it says, Ima Raza Diktiz Bitsavon Tokalna Itsavon Atsidu Virugza Bilanithiru Diantin Taditha Shah Sihara Uvirkan La mishtache bitzavon sitra derucha achara v'itne dina birkan me'alma uginkach v'lo yosif etzel ima Vidahu razadiktiv lo osif lekalel old et ha'adama. He adds no sorrow with it. This is the secret of the verse. In sorrow shall you eat of it. The word sorrow indicates sadness and anger. It means without a bright face. When the moon grows darker, the blessings disappear. In sorrow refers to the spirit of the other side, or the klipot, which prevents blessings from reaching our world by causing people to sin. The words, and he adds no sorrow with it, hint at the secret of the verse, I will not again curse the ground anymore. For sorrow means that the other side takes hold, bringing curses upon the world. Therefore, when he does not add any sorrow with it, he also does not again curse, because both are one and the same. Questions, comments, thoughts?
This sounds like another esoteric verse here. I'm not quite understanding. It's got a lot of code words in it.
It is an esoteric verse. It is difficult to understand. First off, the IBID in the verse is saying it's the same verse as was said previously. So if you go back to say what verse was the last one that was mentioned, and that was Bereshit chapter 8 verses 15 and 16. Elohim spoke to Noah saying, go forth out of the ark. And that's what this discussion is. That's what verse 251 is talking about. So he's saying that he brought a sacrifice, an offering, but there was no sorrow in that offering. It was only happiness and joy. He was not bringing any aspect of the negative system when he made that offering. So imagine the temple was still in operation and somebody brought a sacrifice, brought an offering to the temple. And they were making an offering, an Ola offering, to elevate themselves. Can you say that every human being today would be able to leave behind the consciousness of lack, that would be able to leave behind the depression that caused them to come to the temple to ask to be elevated, which is what an Ola sacrifice does? It elevates everything. In today's world, people have mixed feelings. They have mixed emotions. You love someone, but at the same time, you're upset with some actions that they do. We live in a world of mixture, but the spiritual world is always discrete. There's no mixture in the spiritual world. Right column is clear, left column is clear. In our world, they're always mixed. This verse is coming to explain when Noah came out of the ark, he was happy to be out from under the limitation of the ark. He was happy to be out from under having to take care of the animals. Maybe he wasn't happy for those reasons. He may have been happy for many other reasons. But his joy was unbounded. There was no limitation on his level of joy. That's what the verse is telling us. He adds no sorrow with it. When he brought the sacrifice, when he brought the offering, there was no negative system with it.
Do you think that was the first thing he did after they came off of the ark, was to offer the sacrifice?
Well, that's what the Torah says, that he came out of the ark, and then he planted a vineyard so that he could bring an offering. And it talks about he brings an offering. Now, on a practical level, the vineyard has to grow. So it wasn't immediately. I think the Midrash indicates it was about a season. He came out of the ark at the beginning of summer, which is the time for the vines to ripen.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time of Sukkot, he was making wine and bringing an offering. Now, that's all guesswork on my part. It's not, I don't remember reading the exact times.
Yeah,
but
I was trying to put myself in his place. You know, here he's gone through all those years of building the ark and all the harassment that he received, and then, you know, seeing the animals come on the ark and tending to the ark for the year or so that they were, that the flood lasted. And then here they're back on dry land again, and, you know, he has time to ponder everything that had happened. And you remember, I don't know, a while back, he was unsure that he had used up all his merit. And I guess,
right,
to me, you know, thinking back of all that had happened, that when he did do his offering, you know, he appreciated, the appreciation and thankfulness came forth, and that was why his joy had no sorrow in it. It's in just trying to put myself in his place.
I hear you.
You know, when we've gone through a hard place and then we come through it, and then somehow when it's over, we can see where Hashem's hand was in it and taking care of us all the way.
Right.
And even though it was painful, you have that sense of joy of knowing that gosh, how many times that's happened in our life. Almost every challenge that we've ever had, it ends that way. You know? I mean,
right.
Even, say, a pregnancy and the birth of a child and, you know, and the birth process. And then here you have this beautiful little formed baby at the end, and you just don't think about the pain anymore. So maybe that was how he felt.
How he felt.
And I guess
very nice.
With the moon, you know, the moon growing dark and then reappearing, you know, it's new beginning. And so it was kind of a good way to finish this section, wasn't it?
I agree. And we should be finished, and we are finished from time standpoint. So tomorrow we'll start section 33. You both have a beautiful evening.
Okay,
and,
you too.
And we're going to start our discussions of the Seder tonight in the 7 o'clock West Coast time class. So shalom to all.
Okay, shalom.
Shalom,
Brandon.
Shalom, Hannah.